Good morning, Oregon. Thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Audio Edition podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. You'll find full details if you go to offbeatoregon.com. That is our anchor page. Check it out. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of the shipwrecked fur traders who, in the very early 1800s, walked from the Oregon coast to Louisiana. See, they went ashore on a hunting party and then their sailing ship sank, and that left them stranded alone in a vast wilderness with no prospects for rescue. They made it out. And today we know almost nothing about them because they were fur traders. Well, this story was first published on February 15th, 2011, under the headline, Shipwrecked Fur Traders Walked from Oregon Coast to Louisiana. Here we go. More than 200 years ago, in late August of 1808, four men stood on the shore of an island near the mouth of the Umpqua River and looked out to sea. An empty ocean stared back at them. The ship that had carried them all the way from London to Oregon, the 170-ton Sea Otter, was gone, wiped off the face of the sea with every soul aboard by a violent late summer storm. The four men knew they would be dead, too, if they hadn't just happened to be on the island instead of aboard ship when the storm blew up. They were a hunting party, looking for wild game to feed the Sea Otter's crew. Not a problem now. Because they were fur traders, no one knew where they were. You see, secrecy was a big part of the fur trade in 1808. In fact, departing fur traders routinely lied to friends, family members, and other mariners about where they were going just to make sure the competition didn't find out through some back-channel way. No one would come looking for them, and it would be years before any other ship would come to this remote place on this wild and dangerous coast. So now, just 2 years after Lewis and Clark's visit to Oregon, these four men looked out to sea from the edge of the wilderness and knew they were on their own. They had just the clothes they were wearing, the rifles they were carrying, a total of 6 pounds of gunpowder and 20 of lead, and whatever might float ashore from the shipwreck. These four stranded fur traders were about to embark on possibly the most remarkable overland journey of their century, a century studded with remarkable overland journeys. Over the next 2 years, they would walk, and occasionally float, from the mouth of the Umpqua River, the site of present-day Reedsport, Oregon, to the mouth of the Mississippi River at New Orleans. And outside of the frontier community in Louisiana, almost no one would ever know about it. According to the Louisiana Gazette, a newspaper published out of St. Louis, by the way, the stranded mariners were Baptiste Laval, Michael Connor, Jean Logier, and Emmanuel Silver. These four men spent a little time on the island, hoping for the best. Most likely they stayed there for the rest of the summer and wintered there by the sea where they could wait for better traveling weather in the spring and live on fish, saving their precious ammunition. Then they set out cross-country, heading back towards civilization. These four shipwrecked sailors were setting out to do, with almost nothing, what the Corps of Discovery had done 2 years earlier with the full resources of the United States government. There's really no way of telling precisely what route they chose. Laval's journal, which told the story in some detail, has been lost. We do know that they first went east to the Willamette Valley. From there, they might have gone south and crossed the Rockies in New Mexico, as travelers following the interstate highways to Louisiana typically do today. Or they might have gone straight across the Oregon High Desert and crossed into southern Idaho, where a few years later the Astorian party would get into so much trouble. Whatever route they chose took them across deserts and swamps and through dense forests. Somehow they got over several major rivers. Following in Native American trails, they made their way through mountain passes. Laval, well-schooled in woodcraft from his career as a fur trader, took the lead. The mariners met up with many Native American tribes along the way, many of which were very helpful. Laval, like many fur traders and voyageurs of his day, was very careful to be friendly and solicitous of the tribe members. He saw them as potential customers. Most of them responded in kind. Others, though, did not. The Gazette article, quoted in Marshall's book, says at least one tribe tried to hold the men as prisoners. It doesn't mention how they escaped. The mariners spent the winter of 1809 to 1810 somewhere northwest of present-day Amarillo, Texas. Perhaps they stopped to stockpile food and fuel to make it through, or perhaps they found a friendly tribe to take them in for the season. We just don't know. What we do know is that the summer of 1810 found the four of them floating down the Red River to the Mississippi, and down the Mississippi to New Orleans. They arrived sometime in August, to judge from the date of publication of newspaper reports of their arrival. It had been almost exactly 2 years since their ship and shipmates had gone down, and they'd covered a good 3,000 miles, maybe more. They had made it, all four of them. So why do they keep so quiet about an adventure story that rivals in scale and audacity the wildest tales of American exploration? The story that got into the Louisiana Gazette was remarkably vague, and it's entirely likely that the Sea Otter was not the real name of their ship. If you can call a 170-ton vessel a ship, yacht would be more like it. That's probably a 70- or 80-foot boat. And as far as I've been able to find, no other account of their adventure was ever published, suggesting that after going home, they kept their mouths shut. Almost certainly that was to keep other fur traders, especially American ones. Remember, these guys were Brits, from finding out where they'd been. As the only four survivors, these mariners were in a great position to return to Oregon and make a killing in otter pelts, which one has to assume they subsequently did. Secretly, of course. We're fortunate that they weren't able to keep it completely under their hats, or one of the most amazing and important stories of Oregon history would have gone completely untold. Clearly, though, that would have suited them just fine. Well, that's it for today's episode. And if you're listening for the first time and would like some more information about Oregon, Offbeat Oregon history, you can get everything at our central website at offbeatoregon.com. You'll find a complete catalog of about 190 columns going back to 2008, plus links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes and the Facebook page and Twitter feed in case you'd like to get in on the conversation. You'll also on the website find full citations to sources for this story, which include works by Don Marshall and Henry Schoolcraft. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. The podcast is covered under Creative Commons license. For details, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Come to Corvallis, drop me a line, let's grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. I mean this, too. Nobody ever takes me up on this offer, and I make it with every podcast. Drop me a line if you're here. That's it for today. In coming attractions, tomorrow on Tuesday morning, we'll be reading from an old 2009 episode about Bay Ocean, which is a resort town in Oregon which slid into the sea, house by house. And the interesting thing about this is that the residents of Bay Ocean actually paid a very large amount of money to do something that would change the ocean currents to cause that to happen. They paid for their own destruction. I'll tell you that story tomorrow, and you can look for that after about 6 a.m. That's Tuesday morning. In the meantime, go fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.